about the body of Christ, we're going to start in Ephesians 4. Great place to start. And it's often called the seven unities, but if you read around those, if you read the context, there's more than seven there. But we're going to start there in verse 4 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. There is one body. Remember, this was after the end of Acts. And he says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Speaking to believers there. And Paul writes it here in Ephesians 4 that there has been only one body. So anybody that believes there was some kind of other body, a transitional body, or whatever they think it is, from what other gathering of people without specifying, but it says here there was only one. You know, he says there's only one body before the end of Acts 2, but this has more power because he's been before and been after, and he still says there's only one body. So, remember that if somebody tempts you to try out some other religion that says there was a different body at some other time. I shouldn't say some other religion, some religion. We're strictly sticking to what God says in the Bible and receiving from Him. We're not out to try and correct all the woes of the 4th century or any other century. Just want to do what God says to do in the Bible. Paul writes that there's been one body, and before God sent back this good news to Paul, this that had been kept secret, a mystery that Christ held, a mystery of Christ, the body of Christ was not preached about before that. It was not known about or not available. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts 1 through 8 at least, Peter neither preached anything nor knew anything about that revelation from Christ to Paul, which was not revealed until after Acts 8. Christ knew it, but nobody else. He hadn't revealed it until he revealed it to Paul after Acts 8. And the Bible says nothing about anyone before Paul being baptized into the body of Christ. There's nothing about anyone before Paul being saved immediately from God's wrath. They all had to endure to the end to be saved at the revelation of Jesus Christ. They had to, their faith, they were going through a fiery trial soon, a trial of their faith. They had to maintain their faith. They could fall away. They were given an unction to be able to not fall away, to be able to endure to the end. But once we have believed Paul's gospel, that Christ died for our sins and rose, died for my sins, it's got to be personal for it to be salvation. That the Bible tells us we're stabilized then. That's the first of the three things that stabilizes us in Romans 16, verses 25 to 26. Yeah, thank you. There, that's good, a good place for that verse. We're not able to be knocked off our position in Christ, or knocked out of salvation, or tempted out of salvation. We're there, and we are sealed with and by the Holy Spirit. He's strong. You're not able to, and nobody else is able to break his seal. Before Paul, believers in the gospel of the kingdom were water baptized as kingdom the priests that the kingdom was to be filled with. It was to be a kingdom of priests. And it was prophesied back in Exodus 19, verse 6. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou, Moses, shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And according to Exodus 29, verses 1 through 4, we'll just look at the first and fourth verses. But priests had to be baptized. They had to be washed for their service to be. Well, look at the wording, how it says it. Exodus 29, verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish. And come on down to verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. It would be adding to what the Bible says to claim the Bible says that anybody before Paul was baptized into the body of, into any body of Christ. There is only one, but if somebody wants to try and make a distinction, it still would be adding to what the Bible says. Don't add to the Bible. It's not there, the body of Christ is not there before Acts 9. The Holy Ghost did come on them in power. It came on them, not on us. It didn't come on us. It came on those apostles of Israelite apostles, those 12 apostles that were apostles to Israel. It came on them, and then a few chapters later, it came on that whole group, that whole. I'm trying to think, it was 3,000 plus or 8,000 plus by that time. But it was that whole Church of God in Jerusalem. And it had been told about back in Exodus, in the same section we were reading in before, Exodus 29. But go a few verses further, verse 7. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head. Aaron's and... who was it there? Aaron and his sons. Pour it upon his head and anoint him. So that's part of being prepared to be a priest. And they were, God was, you know, the kingdom was at hand. They were to be a kingdom, a whole kingdom of priests. It's further described in Ezekiel and in Isaiah. In Joel chapter 2, those were all Jews there in that temple there in Acts 2. Only Jews are allowed in the temple. And that was only happening with Israel, though. It had nothing to do with... I mean, they were separate. They were separated from the rest of the world, whether Jews, or whether Gentiles, or the body of Christ. It's not the same as the body of Christ. They were separated from all the other nations, both in Genesis 12:1, where Abraham is told to leave his country, his family, where he lives there, and come to the land that the Lord will show him. And then in verse 7, he says, I will give you the land, and of Genesis 12. And then in Leviticus 20, verse 24 and 26. Well, there's no scripture that equates Israel with the body of Christ. But on the contrary, let's look at Leviticus 20, verse 24. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I'm the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. So there was a separation. They weren't like the rest of the world, like the rest of the Gentiles, like any of the Gentiles. Leviticus 20, verse 26 tells us, and you, lost my place, where am I? And ye shall be holy unto me, For I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. They had to be holy to be the Lord's, and they couldn't be holy when they're in the same fix as the rest of the all the Gentiles. That's twice I messed that up. not the rest of they weren't Gentiles for the rest of the Gentiles to be like them. They were apart from the Gentiles. We just read that. They were separated from them. They were severed from them. So God made a division there. And he rightly divided between Israel and the rest of us. And the scriptures are divided that way. Most of the scriptures are to Israel. When you read your Bible, 50 to 53 are of the books of the Bible are to Israel and about Israel. And most of the scriptures, you can find where God changed his dealings with mankind, starting in Acts 9 with the salvation of Paul. And then you start getting some books written to us, to the Gentiles. But not before that. We can't equate our doctrine with what Christ only gave to Israel. And then they failed. They fell in Acts 7. And Christ started this new pattern in Acts 9. Paul's writings and sermons are God's revelation to Paul for us. That's where he got his information. By revelation of Jesus Christ. It's about salvation. It's about the body of Christ. About the end times, and about what doctrine is to be taught now for people without regard to being or blessing Israel or not. We study the entire Bible, but with the knowledge that what Paul wrote in Romans through Philemon is for us. That's the part that is for us, those 13 epistles. While the rest of the Bible was for Israel before they fell, we have our section that is to and about us, Romans through Philemon. Paul had started preaching the gospel of Christ, bringing the Jews and the Greeks, Jew blessers, those that had tried to come to God through Israel's program, bringing them into the body of Christ, not bringing Israel in, but bringing former Jews and Greeks, we probably should say former. They gave up their Judaism and their hopes of ruling in the kingdom on earth because they're going to be in heaven. They've believed the gospel of Christ and are in the body of Christ to be caught up to be with the Lord at when he comes back for us, just before the 70th week of Daniel, that tribulation period for Israel. But then by the middle of Acts 20, late in the Acts timeline, this gospel that is the gospel of Christ, it began to be sent to and was being preached to all people without distinction. By that time, it was no longer called the gospel of Messiah. Those Gentiles had not been promised a Messiah. They were not looking for a Messiah. They were not wanting a Messiah. But when they heard the gospel, they realized their need for grace. And that may be why God inspired Paul to start calling it the gospel of the grace of God. But it is the same message. Same saving message, same salvation, and it's the same verses to look at to find the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. So let's look a little bit at the stages of preaching to different people groups and see what the scriptural verification is for that. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12 we'll look at here. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. And those verses show the difference between those people in Acts 9 through early in Acts 20 that Paul went to and these people that he is writing to in the epistle of to the Ephesians after the end of Acts. I'm trying to think of something here separate from what I'm talking about. Let's see. I think those are the verses, the right references. Okay, let's read through them. Wherefore, remember that. So we're looking for the difference between those people and these people. Remember that ye, that would be those, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, that at that time, I'm leaving that validation of their uncircumcision out of the picture here, because the circumcision has no place here. I mean, they're not involved in what Paul's talking about. It's just that they verify that the uncircumcision are the uncircumcision. So, wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, that at that time you were without Christ. Why were they without Christ? It says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. There were covenants of promise. And he goes on to say, having no hope, without God in the world. Those, you know, there were covenants of promise that applied to Israel in time past. They don't apply to us. People who were not strangers to those covenants of promise, people who were Jews, or people who blessed Israel and came in, they came in under the covenants of promise then. Not directly having been made, the covenants weren't directly made with those Gentiles that came to God that way, but they were the direct beneficiary of the covenant that God made with Israel, saying, I will bless them. Bless those people, them that come, that bless you, I'll bless them. So God was putting an incentive there for for the Gentiles to bless Israel and help them along. But these Gentiles, who Paul wrote to after the end of Acts, had not blessed Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They had not heard Paul's gospel of Christ in the synagogues, and they had no hope. They were without God. They didn't fit in anywhere where the gospel of Christ was being sent until Paul was sent to all people. So there was a difference in the wider ministry that Paul received later from the Lord, when it says, Philippians 4:15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, well, what's he talking about there? When it says the beginning of the gospel, what's that mean? Is that when God sent the gospel to Abram in Genesis 12? Galatians 3:8 says that it was a gospel, and it tells us what that gospel was, that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, that's a different gospel, isn't it? That gospel does not apply today. Israel is no longer God's people, and God is no longer Israel's God. So there is no longer God's Israel to bless. So that can't apply to us. That cannot apply to us. Well, was it the gospel which Jesus Christ preached only to Israel on earth, to believe that the kingdom was coming? That was good news back then. That was, you know, about the kingdom. That kingdom was coming. It was available. It was at hand. And that was what Israel was to believe. That was what was being offered to them. Not eternal life in heaven that we're offered now. They had a different gospel. They were offered everlasting life on earth. Look at Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, and to say, repent. In other words, change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was them, not us, that were to repent. they were to be baptized in water as a kingdom of priests, not us. We're not to be priests. No, the Bible never says that we in the body of Christ are going to be priests. We're ambassadors. We're teachers of faithful men who will go out and teach others also. And that's what had been promised to Israel, to be a kingdom of priests before they were temporarily cast away. That's not the gospel that Paul is talking about here, is it? In Philippians 4:15. He defines which gospel he's talking about as having begun when he departed from Macedonia. Was Paul referring to the beginning of the gospel when Peter preached the gospel only to Jews in the Jewish temple in Acts 2:38 and Acts 3:19 and 20, saying for the Jews to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins? Receive the Holy Ghost, and the Lord shall send Jesus Christ. Send him back. Paul could not have been saved into Israel's kingdom church by Peter. You know, that's what Peter was preaching, salvation into Israel's church of God. Paul had committed Israel's unforgivable sin of blasphemy. Paul identified himself as the chief of sinners, and even the chief of sinners, the head man, the first in line as a sinner, can be saved in the way that Christ started by saving Saul of Tarsus. And that's great news, isn't it? that outright sinners committing sins that are said to be unforgivable, Christ took that unforgivable sin on himself and died your death on the cross of Calvary. So that's the new pattern that started then, pattern of salvation. Remember that in Acts 9, verse 20, when Paul was first saved, he was separated unto the gospel of God, separated from his mother religion unto the gospel of God. And then in Acts 13, verses 2 and 4, Paul was sent to the work which the Acts record confirms to be the grace remnant ministry to the Jews and the Greeks in the commonwealth of Israel. Only later was Paul sent to all people in due time. That would be in Acts 20, verse 6, when he sailed away from, departed from Macedonia, I guess is the term. Excuse me just a minute. Let me wet my throat. So we're told about that when he sailed away from Macedonia in Acts 22, told that that's when, well, that that would be the all man message, that is when he is sent to all people, put it that way. And that's in the temple vision told about in Acts 22, verses 18 and 21. So the gospel of the grace of God was the saving gospel message that Christ inspired Paul to write about in Philippians 4, verse 15, as having begun when he departed from Macedonia. That was the beginning of it. But it was not until due time that Christ sent Paul with the same saving message that is in the gospel of Christ, or that the gospel of Christ is, but he sent him to all people, naming it the gospel of the grace of God, because it was sent with different distribution instructions. It was to all men. 1 Timothy 2:6, Christ Jesus speaking, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. We see that after the end of Acts, after Paul had been sent to all people, then we see that it's told in due time. It's been told that he was a ransom for all, not just for Israel. The gospel of the grace of God involves my ceasing from my attempts to work for salvation so that I can trust alone that God saves me by Jesus Christ having died for all my sins and raised again for my justification. That's the only way I can be saved today, or anybody, by making it personal. Not just believing it's a fact, but receiving it to your own condition. So, as you can see, the gospel of the grace of God is the same saving message as the gospel of Christ. And we can see that in Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, that last phrase, who first trusted in Christ, defines who the we is that Paul's talking about at the beginning of the verse, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, he shifts then in 13, verse 13, Ephesians 1, 13, he says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. These people, if you look down two verses further, he says, we heard about your faith. He didn't know them. These are not the people he visited in Acts 18 and 19. These were people that had heard from those elders, probably, that he met in Acts 20 and sent back from Miletus back to Ephesus, heard from them that the gospel was to be preached to all people now. And so there were some of these all people, these alien Gentiles, in this congregation here that he's writing to. Whether it's the same one or a different one, I don't know. But you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Finally, it got preached to all people, and they heard it, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and in whom after that you believed, still talking to you people like us that were not in the covenants of promise, not Jews or Israel blessers, but we heard the gospel. It became preached to us, and we heard it and believed it. In whom also you have believed. After that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So those after the end of Acts believed the same about Jesus Christ. They trusted in Christ after they heard it. And another proof that the gospel after it became known as the gospel of the grace of God, after Acts 20 there, is the same saving message as the gospel of Christ before Acts 20 to the Jews and the Greeks. Another proof of it is that Paul in, I'm trying to think of the verse, 2 Timothy 2:8, is that right? 2 Timothy 2:8 calls it my gospel. And in Romans 2:16, he calls it my gospel at that time. Yeah, here it is, 2:8, and then Romans 2:16. So they're both his gospel. He's got one gospel, singular, and it's, you know, the gospel after Acts 20 is the same as the gospel before Acts 20. Paul's Damascus road salvation was long before when he went on those missionary journeys. I don't have any problem calling them missionary journeys. It's not as complete as calling it an apostolic journey. You know, to be a missionary is to be a sent one, and to be an apostle is to be a sent out one. So they're sent missionary. A apostolic journey is a type of missionary journey. You could also say that's not as complete as saying a Pauline apostolic missionary journey. Depends on how specific you want to be, I guess. His salvation was long before he started out on these journeys. At least 3 years, I would say probably more than that, because he was in Tarsus for a while, Tarshish or whatever it is, But he departed from Philippi, Macedonia, and that was on one of those journeys, and that was when Paul specified it was the beginning of the gospel, being the gospel of the grace of God. Philippi, to which Paul was writing his Philippian epistle, he says in Acts 16:12 that it was a chief city in Macedonia. Look at Acts 16, verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So, again, in Philippians 4:15, we read, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," and he goes on with the rest of the verse, but that's the part we're looking for there. He goes on to say in Philippians 4:16, "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." Well, Thessalonica was a nearby city there in Macedonia, and Paul had a necessity that they sent to at that time, and then he left. Paul departed from Macedonia three times, once in Acts 16:40, once in Acts 20, verse 2, and once in Acts 20, verse 6. But in Acts 16 and 17, he didn't have a necessity. 16 in Acts 17, he didn't have a necessity. It's about Thessalonica. He had an income. He says in 1 Thessalonians and in 2 Thessalonians that he worked day and night, probably making tents to make money for his entourage there, his group that went with him, mostly Body of Christ people, but some Church of God Israelite people that believed Paul's gospel was what, you know, what God was doing now, even though they had been saved, had been believers earlier in Israel's gospel, and they had believed that God called them to be circumcision believers and to be resurrected onto the earth to rule. You know, that was their calling. 1 Corinthians 7:18 again tells that, or 17. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20 tells that that God at that time was still calling some people to remain circumcised if they had started out in the circumcision church, the Church of God. So did Paul work for his living those when he was in Thessalonica? Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:9. "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." When Paul was in Thessalonica, in Acts 17, what did he say he preached? Did he say he preached the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God? None of those. "We preached unto you the gospel of God." 1 Thessalonians 2:9. Look also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." So he's saying here that the beginning of the gospel was the time in Acts 20 when he left Macedonia. Now, Acts 20, verse 2, was not when Paul was sent to all men, for then he would have preached the gospel of the grace of God in Athens. Not just the gospel of the grace of God preliminary to preaching the gospel of Christ there. He would have preached the gospel of the grace of God. But he didn't. Paul did not get to preach any salvation gospel in Athens because they would not believe the gospel of God about Christ's deity and his resurrection, according to Acts 17:18. "Then certain philosophers and Epicureans and of the Stoics they encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus." He told them who Jesus was. And the resurrection. He told them that Jesus rose from the dead. And as you can read in Acts 20, verse 6, that was the first time when he left Macedonia with a necessity. And so that was the beginning of the gospel that Paul spoke of when he was writing to the Philippians there in Philippians 4:15. Well, with what gospel was Paul beginning to be sent out with? Was he beginning being sent out? It was when Christ actually sent him out to all Gentiles with the gospel of the grace of God in verse 6 of 20. Remember, in verse 2, he was going to sail away from Athens, and he had to backtrack because they were waiting for him at the dock to kill him. And he backtracked up north through into Macedonia to Philippi, and left from there, sailed away from there, and that's in verse 6. So it's actually three times that he left Macedonia, according to what we can find in the Bible. But Acts 20, verse 6 reads, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days." So they stuck around 7 days there, and that's an exciting story of its on its own. But we're going to stop here for tonight, and I thank you all for being here. Hope that this has been edifying and yielded some understanding into the situation there, and the layered or phased release of the gospel, or sending, I should say, it's a sending of the gospel to the Jews, and then to the Jews and the Greeks, and then to all people, starting in Acts 20. And so the writings of Paul before Acts 20, many of those writings deal with the body of Christ and for us, but they don't, those earlier writings, they have special instructions for those people in a dispensation of the gospel that are moot to us. They don't have any meaning to us. About, having to wear a head covering, is that some ritual that the body of Christ is supposed to do? No. We're not under any laws. A whole bunch of those kind of things are talked about there, but they were for those in the dispensation of the gospel. That work that was going on at that time, but isn't going on anymore. Yeah, thanks for posting. Any questions or comments?